praying here again tonight. And as always, so thankful for those who fill in when I'm gone. I appreciate Brother Ryan stepping up last week. And if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray. If you'll do what we just sang in that song, it'll change everything. Surrender all to Jesus. And one of the ways that we do that is through prayer. We look to him. We give everything to him in prayer. So let's pray before we read. And Brother Dean, will you lead us in that prayer? While you're still standing, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Please be seated. We started this a couple of weeks ago, so I'll just kind of recap real quick. As we move on to verse 2, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And what we've been talking about is learning to pray the way the Bible teaches us to. We talked about praying biblically. We want to pray the way that Jesus teaches us to. Number two, pray reverently. I know that you can come to Jesus and you can come boldly to the throne of grace. And I know that you can come to him and say, Abba, Father. And I know that Jesus said that he has called us his friends. But I want you to never forget that he is Almighty God. He is the Most High. And even though we have familiarity with him, we always respect him. Amen. We always have reverence to him. And it's, I think that's hard for us sometimes to keep those lines right. But always pray reverently before God. Number three, we talked about praying thankfully. We always want to come with thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we come always thankful, and it doesn't matter. Whatever situation you're in, there is always something to be thankful for. Always something to be thankful for. And in everything, you can give thanks. It just, guys, I've seen it.
Amen.
Seen people in the most horrific circumstances of life, and they're still thankful to God, because you should be. Because no matter what's going on, he's still good. Amen. We talked about praying secretly, entering into your secret place to pray. It doesn't literally have to be your closet, but just somewhere that you get alone with God, and you need that. And sometimes that's a challenge. Some of you have small children at home, and finding a time alone is difficult. Some of you are very, very busy. You hit the ground running when you get up in the morning, and you run until you collapse in bed at night. But I'm telling you, you need to find time to get alone with God. You must. So pray secretly, and what a promise from God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that don't be like the hypocrites that stand on the corners and basically say, look at me, how spiritual I am praying. But he says, pray secretly, and the Father which sees secretly will reward you openly.
Amen.
And if you get alone with God, he's going to bless. And then we talked about praying sincerely. When you pray, don't use vain or empty repetition like the heathen do. Don't be like the prophets of Baal. Don't just repeat words, but pray sincerely. Amen. God wants our prayers to be sincere. He wants us to be real. And have you ever been having a conversation with somebody and you can tell they're not really paying attention?
Amen.
Have you ever been preaching a sermon and you can tell people aren't really paying attention? man, there's just a look in people's eyes. And I know any of you with children know this. Like, you're talking to them, but nobody's home. Like, I don't know where they go, but they take trips. And listen, I'll pick on myself. For those of you who are married, if you are a wife with a husband, there have been times that you're talking to your husband and he is not listening, right? But I figured I'd get an amen from that. But here's the crazy thing. People can be talking and not really thinking about what they're saying.
Amen.
But guys, God knows.
Right.
Like, you're not going to trick him.
Amen.
So don't, like, go through the motions with him. That's just offensive.
Amen.
He knows your heart. So when you pray with your heart. Be sincere
Amen. In
your prayers. Which brings us to number 6, John 14, 13. John 14, 13. The Lord says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
This is an amazing promise, but we need to understand what this means. There's a lot of people today who think praying in the name of Jesus just means like tacking his name on the end of it, like saying abracadabra before a spell. Like, I got news for you. You don't just throw Jesus' name on something and that mean that you're praying in the name of Jesus. You need to understand that praying in the name of Jesus means to pray under the authority of Jesus. When you are in his name, that means you're putting yourself under everything that he is.
Amen.
All of his power, all of his glory, all of his majesty, and ultimately under his will. When you're doing something in the name of the King, you have to be doing something that aligns with the King's will,
Amen.
With his purposes, with his direction, and with his power. And so when we pray under his authority. So when you ask in his name, you're not just throwing the name of Jesus on the prayer. You're putting yourself under him. But notice the purpose. Why? Why should we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus? And he answers it in verse 13. It's so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. I think most people in the world today, the majority of people in the world today still believe in God. Now, they may be confused about who he is. They may believe in a false God. But most people who are reasonable understand that all of this in the universe didn't happen by accident. They know there's a higher power out there. And a lot of people would look and say, listen, God did this or God did that. But they might not be talking about the God of the Bible. You know what fixes that? When you bring Jesus into the equation, it removes all possibility of anyone else.
Amen.
Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. And he's the God who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
Amen.
And he's the one who gave his life for us so that we could be saved and have eternal life. So when you bring yourself under Jesus, It removes all the ambiguity about God. And it's crazy to me because there's people in the world today in secular settings that will say, hey, it's okay to pray, just don't pray in the name of Jesus. That's just dumb.
Amen.
Anybody here fans of Thunder basketball? Any Thunder fans? Don't tell me y'all jumped off the wagon just because. Come on. Well, we'll pray for you, brother. We want you to thunder up with the rest of us. All right. Listen, before the Thunder games, home games, they usually have a pastor or some kind of spiritual leader come and pray in that stadium with all the people there before the game, which I think is cool. I mean, that's a private business. They don't have to do that. They bring somebody in, ask them to pray, but sometimes they'll ask them to not pray in the name of Jesus. That's crazy. I got no other name to pray in. I'm not going to make it generic so that I can pray in the name of God and all the other religions in the world can kind of take that in too. Listen, Christianity is exclusive.
Amen.
Because there's only one Jesus Christ who died for our sins and rose again.
Amen.
And so when we pray under his authority. We put ourselves under him. We're coming to the Father because of who Jesus is, because of what Jesus has done, and because of the access Jesus has provided.
Amen.
So I pray in his name because I don't have access to God any other way.
Amen.
I'm not getting there on my own. I have to come through him. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And through Jesus Christ, we have access to God the Father by the Spirit that he has given to us. And so when we pray in his name. John 16:23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And so being under his authority necessitates that we're praying in his will. Okay? So I don't know if this has messed anybody else up, but this used to mess me up so bad because I was like, I'm praying for $1 million. Like Jesus said, if I just ask in his name, I'm going to get it. I'm going to pray for $1 million. I'm going to pray for a Ferrari. No?
Lambo.
Okay. I'll pray for one of those too. I want a Ferrari and a Lamborghini and a private jet. Right? I mean, people do that. They read this and they pray crazy stuff that's not according to the will of God. And then they're mad at God because he didn't answer it. We got to study the scriptures and understand what it means.
Amen.
Jesus isn't writing you a blank check to ask him for anything that you want.
Amen.
He's teaching you to pray in his name,
right,
under his authority and according to his will.
Amen.
Number 7, pray spiritually. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. How often should you pray? How'd you know? Pray without ceasing. Yes. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We pray always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with these phrases, but have you ever heard somebody talk about their attitude and say, well, I think I kind of got in the flesh? You ever heard that? Got you a new phrase, brother. Sometimes we get in the flesh, but God calls us to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
And sometimes we pray in the flesh, but God calls us to pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
What's the difference? Well, listen, I don't know about you, but my spirit still lives in a carnal body. I still live in a fleshly body. I still got a fleshly body and a carnal mind. And there is a war in my members.
Amen.
And I want to do what my flesh wants to do, but the Spirit wants me to do what the Spirit wants to do. And there's a war that fights against each other. And so even in praying, one of the most spiritual things that we can do, he has to command us to pray in the Spirit. Why? Because you could be praying in the flesh. I can pray according to my flesh, or I can pray in the Spirit. It can't just be natural desires. It has to be spiritual. Praying in the Spirit means I'm going to pray with the Spirit's help, which he's promised to give me. It's going to be in harmony with the Spirit's work in my life and through my life. It's going to be according to the truth of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has taught me, because he's the teacher, he's the guide. And so I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And we read this verse a couple of times lately, but it just keeps coming back around to it. So let's look at it one more time. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities.
Amen.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Guys, I just want to tell you that God loves you. And he wants to have fellowship with you. And he loves you even when you don't pray like you should.
Amen. Amen.
And when you are doing your best to pray the way that you should, we're still messed up.
Amen.
We still have infirmities. We're still weak.
Amen.
We still don't have strength. We still don't have everything that we need to pray the way that we should. And even then, the Spirit helps us.
Amen.
I don't know if you ever feel guilty about your prayer life. I do all the time. I feel like I don't pray as much as I should. I feel like I fail to pray without ceasing like I should. I fail to spend as much time in prayer as I should. And when I pray, I'm not as sincere as I should be. Like, I wrestle with that all the time. All the time. But listen, you should wrestle with it. You should fight.
Amen.
Because my flesh wants to do anything but spiritual things. So fight for it. Pray, especially when you don't feel like it. And when you pray, remember the Spirit is going to help you. He's going to help you.
Amen.
Even when you don't have the words to say. I just love it. We know not what to pray for as we ought. I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying to pray the way you taught me to. I'm trying to pray the way I feel convicted to. I'm trying to pray for the things that I see, that I know people have needs for. And I still don't know how to pray just like I should, but He's going to help us.
Amen.
He's going to help us to pray. So thank God that He helps us to pray.
Amen.
I've got more to try to teach you guys about prayer, but I think tonight, to end the service, it'd be better to actually pray instead of just talking about it. So let's pray together now, and then we're going to spend a little extra time in prayer in just a minute. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would hear our prayers tonight, that you would teach us to pray, that we would pray biblically, and we would pray reverently and sincerely, and all of the things that you teach us how we ought to pray. And Lord, I thank you that you've promised to hear our prayers, that you've given us access. Because of what Jesus did for us, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help. And Lord, we need your help every day. Please help our nation bring an awakening and a revival to our country. Raise up godly leaders who will stand for the truth and not compromise. Please help our state to be a state that shines as a beacon of truth and love. That this would be a place where abortion is completely abolished and where the gospel shines forth as bright as the noonday. I pray that the gospel would move through our communities and our towns and our schools and every home, and that you would help this place to not only be a place where the gospel is thriving, but the gospel is sent out across the globe. Lord, I pray for our town, for those in our family and our friends and our neighborhoods and all the places where we live, people who do not know you. Lord, help us to be witnesses for you, to be bold and courageous and have love. And Lord, help us to be disciples who make disciples for your glory. We pray that you'll forgive our sin, that you'll help us to love you and to love one another, to be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as you, God, have forgiven us for Christ's sake. And Lord, may this place be a place for truth and for love, and be a place where disciples are multiplied. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen.